There are many exciting arts events coming to Pittsburgh this fall, from the 35th anniversary of the Mattress Factory to feminist punk rock and, of course, a big old rubber ducky. Bill O'Driscoll, arts and entertainment editor for the Pittsburgh City Paper, is here to talk about what kinds of art we can expect to see around town in the coming weeks. It's the Mattress Factory's 35th anniversary, and one of the newest exhibits highlights Detroit's swiftly changing socioeconomic situation. The installations are meant to draw connections between Detroit's current struggles and those of Pittsburgh 35 years ago, when the Mattress Factory was founded. I had the chance to tour the Mattress Factory, and I know you did too, on opening night. And I think we both spoke with some of the Detroit artists in residence. One of them, Frank Paul, he had an interesting installation based on three events that happened in 1913. Stick with me here. They're randomly connected, kind of. But they changed the world moving forward, according to him. A Westminster chime sounds on the hour, and this commemorates the first global synchronization of time, the development of Henry Ford's assembly line, which affected worker production, and the premiere of The Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky, which is focused on a young girl who dances herself to death to please the god Kronos so that the crops would grow on time. This is what Frank Paul had to say about the installation at the opening this past Thursday night.
So this is pretty much a meditation on time, and hopefully, if people think about it, they'll think about how time-obsessed we are as far as clocks, which I think has become a bit of a mistake. And in fact, in 1914, the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, and Sarajevan diplomats were given 48 hours to explain why. After 48 hours, the killing started. So diplomacy shifted drastically when time became synchronized, because rather than diplomats sitting down and taking a Kairos point of view, which is the negotiations are over when an agreement is reached, suddenly the ultimatums held a different weight, because you could say 48 hours exactly. And if that seems like ancient history, 2 days ago John Kerry gave Syria a 7-day deadline.
That was Frank Paul. Did you get all that out of the exhibit just walking into it?
By looking at it, no.
Right.
You wouldn't have gotten that. It was kind of a dreamy sort of thing, you would agree. Uh-huh. There were these echoey chimes sounding in the background, and the visuals itself, it was a single big room, dimly lit, and you had these screens with machines running behind them, and you would see the silhouettes of the objects, mechanical objects moving behind them. So it had a shadow play kind of feeling to it, you know, stuff like that. I'm not sure what you would have gotten out of it. It didn't look as dire as he made it sound, I would say, or as menacing.
Yeah. What do you think of the concepts and the post-industrial focus of this Detroit in Residence series at the Mattress Factory?
Well, it's really interesting because it's about these artists. So the Mattress Factory says it's about these artists using what they have in Detroit and using what everybody else views as sort of the decay there and things like that to their advantage, taking the materials at hand and making them into something really interesting, opportunity rather than devastation. And they did some pretty interesting things with it.
You had mentioned that something in the basement made the strongest impression for you. Tell me about that.
There's always something in the basement,
right.
Jennifer. Yes, this is by the artist Scott Hocking. Interesting. I'd never seen any work by the guy before, but he did this installation called Coronal Mass Ejection, which sounds very dire. But it's, again, if you've ever been in the basement in the Mattress Factory, it's a really interesting space, kind of bare stone walls, a long room, no windows in it or anything, a little bit on the dank side. He did this big installation that was inspired by actually seeing Pittsburgh's own Carrie Furnace out in Rankin.
Oh, yes.
Some of the big vessels that remain from the steel industry there. And you walk in and there's this kind of long, almost bisected, we call it a smokestack or a container. I'm not sure what it was supposed to be, laying the length of the thing. And then around it were all these figures, human figures that he had salvaged from a Bible theme park. So were these strange dead-eyed sort of rubber mask characters with crazy scraggly hair looming around, and it was kind of funny and at the same time disturbing. And there was also a ladder affixed to the wall that you could climb up and look down on the exhibit. And there's sort of a visual treat. If anyone has a chance to get out, there's a visual treat if you do climb up the ladder that's on the wall.
Okay.
So, yeah, just this kind of meditation on post-industrial society.
Bill O'Driscoll, arts and entertainment editor for the Pittsburgh City Paper, is here. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. Tell me about what's at the Miller Gallery at Carnegie Mellon University. I understand it has a Riot Girl themed. And when I saw that, I was thinking, is this, what, Pussy Riot that's causing such an uproar in Russia? Any similarity there?
You know, I was going to ask you before we started if we could say Pussy Riot on the air, but apparently we can. So, yeah, it's a little bit inspired by that, probably more inspired by the co-curator's experience with Riot Girl back in the early 90s. Folks might remember bands like Bikini Kill, Bratmobile, were this kind of feminist answer to punk rock. So it was all-girl bands usually doing this really aggressive music to try to encourage female fans to make their own culture, make their own zines, make their own music, all this other stuff. Astria Superak, who's the runs the Miller Gallery, is a co-curator of this exhibit. She herself was very influenced by this DIY kind of ethos, and she's put together this exhibit that's not just music, although music is involved, but it's also visual art, other artists who over the years have been inspired by Riot Girl culture, including, I should say, Miranda July, the filmmaker.
This exhibit, I believe, will open Friday, September 20th with a reception, Revolution and Reception, from 6 to 8, preceded by a tour at 5, led by the curators and many artists. The Festival of Firsts begins September 27th, and of course, everyone's talking about the giant rubber ducky coming to town. What can you say about that and the rest of the festival at Firsts?
Well, the duck is big. This is the third Festival of Firsts that the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust has put on. They bring in international artists to do shows or exhibits that have not been seen, at least in North America and in many cases the world before. The duck is kind of the symbol of this particular festival. This is a creation of the Dutch artist Florentine Hoffman. He created this giant inflatable duck that has appeared in cities.
How giant, Bill?
Well, it can be as giant. It has been as giant as 56 feet tall. I believe the one in Hong Kong was 56 feet tall. Pittsburgh's, it's not the same duck traveling the globe.
Oh, I see.
They're custom make it for each depending on the specs, depending on the bridges it needs to get under. To get under the Fort Duquesne Bridge, this one needs to be only 40 feet tall, but it's still a pretty impressive rubber yellow duck.
What's it made of?
It's vinyl. It's okay. like a vinyl. It's being manufactured actually in Ohio, floating on a raft that's being made a little bit north of Pittsburgh by a company in Newcastle. And they're going to float it from around the West End Bridge. They're going to pull it up with a tugboat up to the 6th Street Bridge, which is where the big opening night party on September 27th is for the Festival of First, going along with that night's downtown gallery crawl.
Okay. Do you want to say anything about any of the other exhibits? There's some performance-oriented pieces.
Yeah, a lot of the festival, there are some other visual elements to it besides the duck, but it's mostly performance-oriented. There's a couple that are really interesting. One is called Kiss and Cry. It's this interesting mix of sort of dance and movement, theater and live film. The performers from this European group called Nano Dances use their hands, their fingers, in other words, to act as human characters in person. But at the same time, this is being videotaped and projected on a big screen with special effects and other things on a miniature set. So it looks like you're watching a film at the same time, and it tells the story of a sort of lifelong, this woman's lifelong romantic history. And it sounds very moving, and people who've seen this company perform before have said they do some really interesting stuff with it.
That's sounding like our local Squonk Opera could be involved.
Yeah, a little bit, something a little bit surreal, too.
The Carnegie International starts October 5th. Why is this exhibition so special in Pittsburgh?
Well, the Carnegie International goes back 117 years, so this is the 50th-some iteration of it. They do it every few years here. The last one was in 2008, and it's surely the biggest single art exhibit that happens in Pittsburgh, and it's also relatively rare in focusing on contemporary art from around the world. So it's this big influx. There's a few dozen artists in it, and it's Pittsburgh's big chance to see what the rest of the world is doing at this point in time.
And the themes this year?
They have a theme of play, which is, of course, very broad. Folks who were around in 2008 might remember the theme was Life on Mars, which was maybe a little bit more provocative or evocative. This one, the theme is play, and the curators have put together a show that, you know, some people would argue all art is, in essence, play. But you can interpret the theme in different ways. Folks might have seen the Laza worm, the kind of multicolored kid child crawling through tunnel that they put out on Forbes Avenue there to kind of set the tone for this exhibit. But the show itself, the art's a little bit of a mystery. We don't really know totally what's going to be there yet.
Have you climbed through the orange Laza worm yourself?
I was a little bit afraid of the Laza worm, I have to admit. Yeah.
What else is going on around town in the coming weeks that you think everyone should know about?
Well, speaking of, we just mentioned the Carrie Furness and how one of the visiting Detroit artists was inspired by that. There's a really interesting exhibit going up called Alloy Pittsburgh 2013. It's actually being done at the Carrie Furness in Rankin. This is the decommissioned steel mill, once part of the U.S. Steel's grand, you know, a complex that stretched up and down the river. And there's 14 local artists who are going to
do the steel mill,
that they're going to do site-specific installations at what remains of this kind of rusting hulk of the steel industry here. And we'll see what they do. One of the curators is Chris McGinnis, who's a local artist who's done some interesting stuff over the years. And it should be an interesting show and kind of a destination for folks to get out to Rankin.
And Rick Dark of the Highline fame in New York is also involved with that project.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. I hadn't even noticed that. It's great.
Clayton Days over at the Frick
yes.
Art and Historical Center in Point Breeze. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it myself. We ran a review of it last week in the paper to go over this. This is folks probably know that Clayton is Henry Clay Frick's mansion, the industrial baron from 100 years ago. And this was his mansion, and there's an art museum that goes with it. About 10 years ago, the museum commissioned a Brazilian photographer to do something in this space, and he chose to do these kind of recreations of life from 100 years ago among what would have been the servants of Frick's house. And he used Frick's staff to kind of portray those servants. And this is photographs from his original project, but also some re-photographing of some new things, some new additions to it.
I did see it. And black and whites, period costumes, people doing things like playing croquet. Some pretty stunning images. One of, I think, a fellow holding a snake, and they're just sort of looking dead on at the camera.
Uh-huh.
I'd have a hard time seeing Henry Clay Frick do anything like that. But
probably not.
Right.
Yeah, he had someone do that for him.
But as you mentioned, the artist from Brazil won fame for his wasteland images.
Yeah, he had done some other projects, some documentary projects about the giant garbage dump in Brazil, this kind of documentary work, which was, you know, socially engaged documentary work, which is pretty far removed from this. So maybe that's why they thought he was interesting.
Yeah. And I should mention at the end of the Clayton Days exhibit are some pictures. He represented some works of Van Gogh, but they're kind of garbage images in there too.
Yeah. Interesting.
So kind of like pointillism, you know, maybe your blue shout bottle or something.
Right. The art, the modern art, modern art.
Bill O'Driscoll is arts and entertainment editor for the Pittsburgh City Paper. This is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. Bill, anything else in your collection over there you can share with me?
Let's see. What else is going on here? Well, there was there's all kinds of stuff going on everywhere all over town. You know, I should say too, this festival first, they have includes dance. There's a big dance performance by company Marie Chouinard, Montreal-based group, very, very well known. They're doing something next Saturday, I think that show is. The gallery crawls that same night. Theater going on too. This is the big season when all the theater companies go up. I mentioned too quickly for next week, Pittsburgh Public Theater opens its season with Our Town, the great Thornton Wilder classic, with a giant all-Pittsburgh cast led by Tom Atkins, who starred in The Chief there. Also, the Pittsburgh playwright Tammy Ryan, her new work called Soldier's Heart, which is about a female veteran returning from Iraq, that opens at the Pittsburgh Playhouse next week too.
And I heard actually on WESA today that The Lion King has a special presentation for folks on the autism spectrum.
Right, this weekend. So Lion King, the big Disney theatrical show, has one that's where the lights are different and the whole presentation is somewhat different so as to accommodate folks on the autism spectrum. Although they say that, you know, even if you're not on the autism spectrum, it'll still be the show that you, you know, expect to see with all the spectacle and such.
Great. Coming up, autumn begins this Sunday, and Post-Gazette restaurant critic Melissa McCart is here to tell us what food trends to be on the lookout for. This is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan, in for Paul Guggenheimer.